Welcome to our 2023 Christmas program, A Son is Given. As we begin, let's recall when the world realized God's own Son was given. We read from the Bible in Luke chapter 2 that it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which was called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Clip, clop, clip, clop.
One little donkey so fuzzy and brown is on his way to Bethlehem town.
Clip, clop, clip, clop.
Mary will ride and Joseph will walk. Both of them are too tired to talk, for the road is long and they cannot stop.
Clip, clop, clip, clop. The fuzzy brown donkey perked up his ear when Joseph cried,
"At last we are here."
But oh, what a crowd, so noisy and loud.
Hi, how you doing? How's it doing?
How are you?
And where would they stay at the end of the day?
Do you have room?
Poor Joseph said,
"We've come so far and need a bed."
But the busy innkeeper shook his head.
Mary and Joseph turned away, but then they heard the innkeeper say,
"If you don't mind some cow and sheep, I have a place where you can sleep."
The fuzzy brown donkey was glad to stay beside a manger filled with hay. Said a cow. Said the sheep, then everyone tried to get some sleep.
And when the animals opened their eyes, there in the manger, to their surprise, a baby lay. It was baby Jesus asleep on the hay, a gift from God on Christmas Day.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed.
Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them.
Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying,
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all those who heard it marveled. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen.
Our manger scene story finishes in Matthew chapter 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. After being sent to Bethlehem, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him.
Just as those wise men did, we invite you to join us in worshiping God for the gift he has gave us in that manger so long ago. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, born to save us from our sins. As we consider the words of our next song, please join us in singing, O Come All Ye Faithful.
The song first.
Thank you.
Just want to thank you for coming and welcome you here to our program this year. The kids have worked very hard, as you can see. That was an impressive major scene. I think you would agree with that. We're doing something a little different this year. We're having some drama. We're doing a play. And we know that the children here quoted Matthew 1:21 that said, Joseph came to, or Mary, or excuse me, the angel came to Joseph before Mary had her baby and said, you're going to name that son Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sins. During the narrative today, the angels went to the shepherds and said, today in the city of David is born to you a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And the theme of our drama and the theme of the songs you're going to hear tonight is about forgiveness and the forgiveness that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you consider this drama, there's five different characters and four are unique. We have a prosecuting attorney who's got an interesting perspective when it comes to forgiveness. We have a defense attorney that has another perspective. We have a judge that understands mercy and justice. And we have a defendant who's going to try and process all this. And so as we go through this tonight and as we sing these songs, let me just encourage you to think about the messages being presented here and recognize that this is a picture of why Jesus came to earth, to offer us full and free forgiveness. And so without further ado, we'll begin.
All right, we come to our final case of the day. If everyone will bear with us just a little longer, we'll try to get you home for the holiday just as soon as possible. Mr. Weissman, Who do we have next?
Next, Your Honor, we have a defendant charged with a DWI and fleeing the scene of an accident.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. If I could please make a brief request.
Well, hello, Sarah. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas, Your Honor.
Thought this was going to be a quick case, but here stands a noble public defender to disabuse me of that belief.
I apologize. I apologize, Your Honor. Would you grant me a brief recess to speak with my client? This case just landed on my desk today, and I've barely had time to talk with him.
Come on, Sarah. Don't drag this out any longer. It's an open and shut case. Why are you stalling?
This is anything but open and shut, Ryan.
Miss Novak, I could give you a very brief recess, but any longer than an hour and your client will have to spend Christmas in his cell.
It'll just take a few minutes, Your Honor.
All right. Well, you confer with your client, Miss Novak, and we'll see you back here in 45 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. In case you weren't aware, slouching in your chair and hiding your face from the judge is very suspicious behavior.
I can't face him again.
Who? Judge Hammond? Do you know him?
I can't face him again.
Why? Are you worried you can't get a fair trial? We can get a different judge or ask him to recuse himself.
It doesn't matter.
I can't help you if you won't work with me.
Fine.
Look, I don't have a lot of time here. Just tell me what happened, please.
It's like I told you over the phone. I fell asleep at the wheel. Simple as that. It was an accident.
And you weren't under the influence of alcohol?
No. I told the cop and the other attorney. I don't know why you keep asking me that.
It could be because of your past DUI.
That was almost 5 years ago. So that's what this is really about. Finally gonna stick it to me, huh? I knew I shouldn't have come back here.
Wait, you don't live here?
No. I got out of town as soon as I could, and I haven't been back since.
Why were you coming back last night?
Well, I came to see my mother. She has cancer, and I needed to come back.
I'm sorry.
It happens.
Just to clarify, you were driving to your mother's house at 2 a.m.
Yes, okay. I worked all day and left late. I drove straight through the night just to get here. When I came off the exit, I must have started drifting off. I didn't realize how tired I was. I was almost there when I think I just nodded off for a second.
And that's when you struck the parked car and the courthouse sign.
What is the point of this?
Maybe you should take this a little more seriously. This would be your second DUI. The prosecutor will want to lock you up for 30 days, minimum.
That's ridiculous. I wasn't drinking. I've been sober for 5 years.
Then how do you explain fleeing the scene?
I didn't flee the scene.
Yes, you did. I saw the security video.
No, I was cold and tired. I had just hit my head. I thought if I could only make it home, then I would report it.
You still fled the scene of an accident.
All I hit was a parked car.
That won't matter.
Well, it should. I didn't do anything wrong. You've got nothing on me.
Mr. Friedman, I am your attorney. I'm trying to defend you, and you are not making life any easier for either of us by being belligerent.
It doesn't matter. He's gonna throw the book at me anyway.
The judge? Craig, if you have something to tell me, you need to say it.
It doesn't matter. It's hopeless.
I'm sorry for the inconvenience, Mr. Covey.
No problem, Judge. I'm just sorry to see the public defender's office take advantage of your kindness yet again.
Well, it's fine. We want to make sure that everyone receives fair representation.
Trust me, Your Honor. At this point, they're always guilty. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in this situation.
Well, that's quite a jaded view of our justice system.
I'm just saying, you can't be in my line of work this long and not... No, all these creeps are the same.
I should remind you that you're talking about a human being.
Yes, and it's basic human nature. A criminal needs to be punished. If you let him off, he just falls back into his own ways, his old ways. People don't change.
Well, I appreciate your strong sense of justice, Mr. Covey, but you seem to be forgetting the place of mercy, forgiveness, and rehabilitation. Not to mention that whole pesky concept of innocent until proven guilty.
Ah, now you're changing the subject.
No, I would just simply remind you that no one is perfect. And but for the grace of God, any of us could fall into all sorts of evil.
All right, Judge, I know you teach Sunday school and all, but this ain't Sunday school. And this isn't a little sin problem or a minor indiscretion. You should forgive mistakes, but not when they cause real harm.
Well, Mr. Covey, you know, we are all sinners. All we like sheep have gone astray. We are all deserving of judgment.
Now who's the jaded pessimist? That's an awfully bleak outlook for Christmas Eve.
Well, it would be if that's the end of the story, but it's only the beginning. Christmas reminds the sinner that fear and despair can give way to joy.
Thank you.
defending today and not Judge Miller.
Ms. Novick, are you and your client ready?
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you for your patience. You too, Ryan.
May we proceed?
Yes, we will now hear the case of Mr. Let's see. Where's
are,
my file?
Honor.
Thank you. All right. Yes, the case of Mr. Craig.
Your Honor.
I told you, it's hopeless.
Mr. Craig Friedman. It's like a ghost from the past. I must inform counsel that I am intimately familiar with this defendant. Due to our past history, I think it's necessary that he stands before a different judge.
Your Honor, I am aware that there is some history between you and my client. However, Mr. Friedman is desperate to have his case heard today. He came here for the holidays to see his mother, who is dying of...
cancer, yes, I am aware of that.
To wait for another judge would potentially leave my client in custody over these precious few days. Additionally, it would be difficult for him to make bail. He has requested that you please hear his case.
When how does the defendant plead to the charges of driving under the influence and fleeing the scene of an accident?
He pleads not guilty to the DUI and guilty to leaving the scene of an accident. I should add that he would like to waive his right to trial by jury.
For the record, Your Honor, the state has no objection to waiving a jury trial.
Mr. Friedman?
Craig, at least look at him.
Mr. Friedman, is it true that you want to stand trial before me and waive your right to a jury trial?
Yes.
Court will take a brief recess.
Your Honor.
Okay, Spill. What's going on? How in the world do you know Judge Hammond?
I caused his son's death.
You did what?
I killed his son.
And you didn't think that was important enough to mention before? You just threw yourself on his mercy. Why would you do that?
I was a stupid kid. It was my 17th birthday, and I went to a party with some friends. Somebody showed up with alcohol, and so everyone pressured me to drink. It was my birthday, after all.
You don't have to explain it to me.
You're my counselor, right? My advocate? Might as well know who you're advocating for.
Mr. Friedman.
I don't even remember how many drinks I had. It didn't even seem like that many. Suddenly, I realized how late it was. I didn't want my mother to be suspicious, so I just grabbed my keys and left. Somebody tried to stop me, but I thought I was fine. I knew I was drunk, but I thought I could make it home. I was fine. I was always fine. I don't even remember how exactly it happened, but I ended up swerving. I didn't see him. He was out jogging, practicing for a track meet. I didn't see him. It was an accident.
Of course it was.
It wasn't my fault. No. What am I saying? Of course it was my fault.
I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry too. My life ended that night.
Craig, I don't begin to assume that I know what you've been through, but didn't you already pay the penalty for that mistake? Didn't you serve a sentence?
Yeah. DUI manslaughter. Isn't that an awful word? Manslaughter? I was convicted and sentenced to 4 years, then released early on parole for good behavior, probably because of my age.
Then have you been able to find peace that justice was served?
What justice? Jason's still dead, and I still killed him. Sure, I was punished, but that didn't bring him back. It didn't wipe away my guilt, did it? Today, I couldn't even look the judge in the eye.
Have you been able to move on and live your life?
When you cause someone else's death, you don't get to move on. You don't get to live a normal life. It's a debt I can't repay.
Have you tried talking to a doctor or a therapist? Maybe someone at a church?
Nobody wants me in their church. Come on, nobody wants to talk to me about heaven. I don't deserve heaven, and you all know it.
You know, I don't think any of us get to decide who deserves heaven.
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Well, that's no problem. I didn't mean to eavesdrop, but I wasn't expecting to hear a discussion on heaven, but I guess with the season and all.
I don't understand.
I think he means Christmas.
Precisely, Sarah. You do know that Christmas is the time when Jesus came down to earth to open heaven for all of mankind.
No.
You would know, sir, being the resident Sunday school teacher. Are you ready for us, Judge Hammond?
Yes, I am.
Opened heaven to man? How would he do that?
Poverty's embrace, born in rumor's cold disgrace, born the prince so pure and chaste, alleluia, born of God, sent to comfort, sent to pray, sent to wipe our tears away, sent to turn our night to day, alleluia, sent of God, alleluia, alleluia, God has opened him to man, alleluia. To hear his people cry.
Furthermore, my client did not stagger and stumble around, nor did he slink off into the shadows as my esteemed colleague so vividly imagined.
Watch the video!
In fact, I would assert that my client did not intend to flee the scene at all. He was disoriented, tired, and seeking shelter from the cold. He was also desperate to see his mother, as he was under the belief that she could die at any moment. He didn't think he had done anything wrong. My client fell asleep at the wheel, and there is no evidence that he was under the influence of any substance.
Your Honor, as I've stated previously, there is plenty of evidence that this was a DUI. Go back to the flight. Innocent people don't flee the scene.
You're like a broken record.
The skid marks, the extent of the damage, the lateness of the hour, and most importantly, the fact that he fled the scene. Why else would he leave?
Your Honor!
Because he was drunk. And you can't take a breathalyzer if you can't be found. It's awfully convenient.
Your Honor, I have so many objections right now, I don't even know where to start.
Well, if both of you are quite finished with your theatrical performances, I believe we can bring this case to a close. Counselors, please have a seat. At this point, I've heard from both of you, as well from the defendant himself. We seem to be descending into a cycle of squabbling. I've heard your closing arguments, and I'm ready to rule.
Look, whatever happens, we can appeal.
No, fate brought me here. I deserve what's coming. Why resist?
Will the defendant, Craig Friedman, please rise? After hearing all the arguments, weighing the facts, viewing the security camera footage, and hearing your testimony, I find as follows. To the charge of driving under the influence, I find the defendant...
guilty.
Not guilty.
What?
And to the charge of fleeing the scene of the accident, I find the defendant guilty. In determining the sentence for this crime, it's noted that the defendant has a criminal record, including a previous DUI manslaughter of which I am painfully familiar, due to the extent of the damages caused to the courthouse property and the suspicious circumstances of your flight. I sentence you to the maximum fine allowable, $4,000.
It's okay, Craig. It's a big win. I'm sure we can find the money somewhere.
What's the judge doing?
Mr. Weissman, here's a check for the amount that Craig owes for his fine. If there's any other damages that his insurance won't cover, I will cover those.
But Your Honor,
take it to the clerk. Tell her to get the paperwork in order. I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Wait, Judge, what are you doing?
Go home, Craig. Be with your mother. You are free.
But Judge, please just tell me what's going on. I don't understand.
Well, I forgive you, Craig, and I hope you can accept that forgiveness. But much more than that, you need to accept God's forgiveness. I know that you've heard this before, at church and from your mother. You need to believe that Jesus Christ loves you so much that he paid your sin debt in full on Calvary so that you are forgiven.
I've thought about it, but how can he really forgive me? After all the pain I've caused and the life that I've wasted. You of all people know why I can't be saved.
Oh, you're wrong, Craig. Jesus died for you. He loves you. Only he can truly forgive you, and he's waiting for you to trust him.
It can't be that simple, can it?
Thank you. so broken is today.
Can it be that he truly is the only Son of God who healed the sick and even raised the dead?
Can it be that he's living today? Can it be that he conquered the
Craig, the Bible says that God is the holy judge, fair and right. The Bible also says that every one of us have broken God's law. We are all guilty in some way. As a just judge, God cannot overlook our sin. It carries the sentence of death or separation from him and his holiness forever. And yet, God loves us so much that he made a way to satisfy his perfect justice and also provide us with the gift of eternal life. He sent us the greatest gift, the reason we celebrate the Christmas season. God himself stepped out of heaven, was born as a baby, named Emmanuel, which means God with us. He was also called Jesus, the one who saves. He did not come just to live a perfect life on earth. He came to die in our place, to pay that death penalty that we deserved. Acts 10:43 says that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins. I paid your fine today, but Jesus Christ paid for every single transgression you have
or ever will commit against God. Your death sentence was paid when he died on the cross. God has provided complete forgiveness. The question is, do you believe this?
Wow. It's amazing that he loves me that much. After all I've done, I do believe.
Amen to that.
Thank you. Thank you so much for forgiving me. I know it doesn't help, but I want you to know that my whole life I felt so guilty for what happened. I've suffered every day since that awful night.
Do you know what I wanted much more than your suffering? For you to trust Christ so that you know you are completely forgiven by God.
How could you feel that way toward me? Of all people.
Only by God's grace.
It's strange. I feel this huge weight of guilt as it's lifting off of me. It's like...
You're justified?
What?
Justified. It means made right or declared righteous.
Well, I can never be righteous. I know that.
Well, no, not with any righteousness of your own. The Bible says that the moment you depend on Christ as your Savior, God sees you in Christ, so his perfect righteousness is put to your account. Romans 3:24 says we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We can never earn salvation or wash away our many sins. By faith in the atoning work of Jesus Christ, the penalty for our sins is paid, the righteous wrath of God towards sin is appeased, and God declares from that moment on, we are justified.
Thank you.
Your Honor, could we speak for a moment?
Sure.
I hope you don't mind me saying this. That was truly touching in there, but I don't understand how you could forgive him so quickly, so easily.
It really wasn't very quick, and it really wasn't very easy.
But sir, that was the perfect chance to avenge your son's death. He didn't even serve his full sentence. I don't understand. I would have thought you would have wanted justice.
Justice, Mr. Covey? I love justice. I seek justice. My hope is eternal justice, but it's not my justice, and it's not your justice.
I see where you're going. You mean God's justice.
Exactly. But what is justice without mercy? What's mercy without justice?
But your son.
Yes, I lost my son, my only child. I doubt the pain will ever go away from that. But today I couldn't help but think of another father who lost his only son, a perfect, innocent son who died for the very men that caused his pain. I'm one of those guilty men, and so are you, Mr. Covey. You asked me how I could forgive Mr. Friedman. Craig. Yes. It was simple, really. I can forgive because I'm forgiven. I forgive because I'm forgiven. And forgiveness leads to freedom, peace, and inexpressible joy. Merry Christmas, Mr. Covey.
Well, I trust that was worth your time tonight. It was worth my time. I should have brought Kleenex. I've been crying for most of it. But thank you for all the people that really made it happen. But I trust that you've really come to see the whole point of what this play illustrated was the need for forgiveness. And you know, you've maybe been able to relate to the prosecutor. Maybe you've been the victim of some injustice, and so that in your heart of hearts, you want someone to pay a price for how they've offended you. Or maybe you could relate with Craig Freeman, or Freeburg, or whatever his name was. You know, he wasn't intending to do something, but he did something horrible. And he was overladen with guilt. And that could describe you tonight as well. But hopefully you can see the heart of the judge. Because what the heart of the judge really communicated was the love of God and forgiveness. See, the one thing that we have in common with everyone, with each other, with everyone up here, with all the kids, with every human being in the world, is we need forgiveness. You know, God is a holy God. He's a just God. This man wants justice, but when you recognize that if you really want justice, what that really means you're going to be crying out for mercy. And this was a wonderful demonstration of mercy. The verse that, and I forgot the clicker, so I'm going to have to do this in my brain. Too moved by this. Here we go. Again, the angel told Joseph right before the birth of Jesus that you should call his name Jesus, for he will save his people for his sins. You go on. Paul said it this way in 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Next one. And this was kind of the theme verse for the whole program. To him, all the prophets witnessed that through his name, and that name is the name of Christ, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Like I mentioned, the one thing we all need is to be forgiven. And the thing about God is he's been depicted in so many ways. They think a lot of people have this picture that he's holy, he's vindictive, he wants to stick it to anyone he can. But the Bible communicates a God of the exact opposite. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but everlasting life. Jesus Christ, who left glories of heaven, became a man like you and me. The difference between him and us, though, is he never sinned. He kept the law perfectly. When it said, thou shalt not lie, we've all lied. When it says, thou shalt not steal, we've all stolen. When it says, obey mom and dad, well, you know how that goes, right? We violated those things. And the law condemns us as sinners. Just like this young man, Craig Friedman, broke the law, he was condemned by our own justice system. And yet, like the judge illustrated tonight, God's goal is not to punish us for our sin, though that is what we deserve. God's goal is to extend mercy to every human being that has ever lived. And that's why Jesus Christ came, because justice demands a payment for sin. See, the judge in love paid the fine of the very person that killed his son. Someone had to pay. Craig deserved to pay, but the judge in love decided, you know what, I'm going to pay it for him. And that's exactly what the God of the universe did for us. As sinners before holy God, we deserve to pay. And the wages of sin is death. And so what we deserve is condemnation, separation from God, and eternal hell forever. That's the last thing God wants. And that's what the judge didn't want for Craig. And this is why Jesus came. And at Christmas time, everyone celebrates the birth of Christ, but what you need to realize is that he was born to die. And his death had a tremendous purpose. He didn't die because the Romans decided to condemn an innocent man. There was a great accomplishment and purpose for it. He was dying in your place. He was dying in my place because someone had to pay. And because he was an eternal God, he made an infinite payment for sin. Every sin you've ever done. In fact, why don't we click here? See what happens. Keep going. See, God has to pour out his wrath upon sin. He can't pretend it doesn't happen. When you break a law, they can't pretend it's not. It didn't exist. It has to be paid. But here in love, God punished his own son in our place. The one who never deserved it, was never worthy of any of it. And what was the point? See, in understanding the gospel message and the message of forgiveness, you realize that your sins and my sins were placed upon Christ on the cross from the time, from the hours of 12 and 3, he took the sins of every person that has and ever will live upon himself in love. God's anger, judgment, punishment, wrath, and hatred towards sin was poured out, not on you and me, though that's what we deserve, but on an innocent substitute who lived a perfect life. And when he was on that cross, he cried out, it is finished, and that means paid in full. Your sins were paid in full. If you think about it, if you sin just 5 times a day, and you're 40 years old, that's 64,000 sins. And 5 would be an outstanding day for me. But that's the love of God right there. See, if you think about the cross, he personally called up your list of sins when he was on that cross. He knows you intimately. He knows everything about you and loves you anyway. How amazing is that? And to prove it, on that cross, he called up your full list. And what did he do? He paid your sin in full. And to prove that God had accepted his payment, he rose from the grave and lives forevermore. And so what he's offering is a full and free forgiveness, a full and free salvation on one condition. It's not promising to turn over a new leaf. It's not promising to quit sinning. It's not promising to go to church or quit going to the bar, whatever you might think it might include. It has nothing to do with that. Being saved has nothing to do with how you live your life. Christ came to save sinners, and we all qualify. The issue is, will you recognize that in love, he died in your place, paid for your sins, got the job done, and because the bill's been paid, you can have something for free that you desperately need called forgiveness and salvation, and you simply have to take it. You have to make a choice in your mind to say, you know what? I believe he did that for me. I'm going to put my hope in him and him alone, and the promise is true. Christ can't lie. He says, when you put your faith in him, the Bible says you know you have eternal life. If salvation was predicated on your efforts or my efforts or in anybody's efforts, you could never have assurance of salvation because we blow it every day. But Christ took all that into account 2,000 years ago before you were ever alive, knew everything you would do, took it upon himself, paid for it. And since it's paid for, the moment you trust him, you get the very life he came to give you, eternal life. He came to forgive. And he wants the forgiveness. Your guilt is gone. Craig said he felt the guilt going. That's the whole point. He took your guilt, your shame, he took it all in love so that you could escape the horror of hell which you deserve for all eternity, absolutely free. See, believe means to keep going. Trust in, rely on, put your faith in. You know, we're all trusting something tonight when we think of the afterlife. You might be trusting your good works. You might be trusting your church. You might be trusting your baptism certificate. But the Bible's very clear. The only person who can save you is Jesus Christ. He's the Savior. And where your trust needs to be is in him and him alone. And he cannot deny his word. And he gives you at that very moment everlasting life. So the issue is this. To him, all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive the remission of sins. It's not a maybe. It's not a hope so. It's not a roll of the dice. It's guaranteed. If I make you a promise, you should be nervous because I might not be able to keep it. But when God makes a promise, it's ironclad. It cannot fail. And the very integrity of Jesus Christ is on the line here. He took upon himself all your sin. There's nothing left to be done. The work's been done. What you simply have to do is humble yourself and say, you know what? I need forgiveness. And you take it on his terms, not yours. And his terms are this. It's free. Will you take it? That's the message of Christmas. That's why Christ is called the Savior. This is why he came from heaven, was born, lived the life he did, and died the death he did. It was for that reality. And I trust tonight you saw that beautifully illustrated through these actors. This was a great program. A lot of work went into it. I'm so thankful. This is something my wife's been looking forward to for years, this particular cantata. And she couldn't be here, but she's so thankful for everyone that's done it. And so am I. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we are so grateful that you loved us in spite of us, that you knew every filthy thing about us. And you didn't say merely that you loved us, but you demonstrated it. By going to the cross, and there you took upon himself my filth and the filth of every human being that's ever lived. And you bore the penalty that we justly deserve. And thank you, Father, for accepting his payment. Thank you that he rose from the grave, and the life that he has is the very life that he seeks to give any and all through simple faith in him. And I pray for anyone here that has yet to come to place their faith in Christ, that you would just help them to understand this message, to realize it's free, it's contingent on nothing else but the finished work of Christ. So we're so thankful for him. Thank you again for all the people that invested their time and effort to make this program what it was. We pray that you truly be honored in it and through it. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to bring our